Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God doesn't mind your hands, but he wants your mouth. Amen. He wants your mouth. He needs you. Let's give him what he wants. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to start moving on to our next fruit, but we're going to read some scriptures together, and you should have your handout, either electronically or in paper copy. So we're going to read these scriptures together. They're at the top, and then we're going to go to Galatians 5, verse number 22. We're going to read the scriptures at the top together. I want you, all of us, to partake by reading. Hallelujah. Everybody ready? Ready? Read. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Praise God. That's 2 Thessalonians 3:16. James 3:18. Says this, ready? Read. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen. Hallelujah. That now Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this, ready? Read. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right. And Colossians 3:15 says this. Ready? Read. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. And now you see the little acronym spell out there on to the right side. It's John 16:33. I'm going to read that. So let's read that as well. John 16:33. Ready? Read. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Amen. So peace. We're going to see peace in all different facets of the New Testament. This is a part of our covenant. We have a covenant of peace. And as we're kicking off this emphasis on peace in our series, Focus on the Fruit, our focus on the fruit, we've moved from love. We've spent quite a considerable time on love. We spent our last weeks studying and focusing on joy, and now peace. Amen? So we're in Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. King James says faith or faithfulness in the New King James. Really, really more accurately rendered, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Amen. So these are byproducts of being born again. These are forces of yours and mine, newborn, recreated human spirit. Isn't that good? So you have the love of God in you. Now, we said fruit has to be cultivated and developed. And so we talked about that some in a overview standpoint, but also a practical application. These things have to be practiced. They have to be developed. They have to be learned to put that investment of time spent. Time spent what? Walking in love. Time spent developing the love of God on the inside of you. Through your acts of faith and your confession of faith and your prayers that we have in the New Testament, the scriptural prayers, a lot of them, two of them talk about the love. Ephesians 3 talks about being rooted and grounded where? In love. So you got to walk around saying to yourself and saying the same thing the Word is. I'm rooted and I'm grounded. Where? In the love of Christ. I know the love of Christ. Now, because what faith is what? Now. So everybody should be saying the same thing the Word says. I know the love of Christ, which passes mere human mortal knowledge. And I'm filled with all the fullness of God. I have the richest measure of his divine presence. So forth and so on. Now, Philippians says it this way, that your love may abound more and more in all. So you say, my love is abounding more and more in knowledge and all judgment. Now, these are not feeling propositions. These are faith propositions. These are faith programs, faith processes, faith professions. Amen? And so you say that about the joy of the Lord. Some people want to feel joy before they say they're in joy. Because they think happiness is all joy is. But that's not joy. Amen? So joy is a choice, we said. So it's operated by faith just like love. Amen? It's not based on feelings. So you say, I got the what? Joy of the Lord. You say, Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And you say, I'm full of joy. Or I stir up the joy of the Lord. Especially when you want to resist sin, Satan, sickness, or sorrow. Or like Pastor Cynthia let us do, you sometimes got to say, ha, ha, ha. You know, the Holy Spirit may prompt you to do that. He may prompt you to laugh. Amen? Because laughter, a merry heart, does what? Good like a medicine. So it's needed for sickness. Amen? It should be an automatic prescription if you're on prescriptions. It's on, intentionally, on purpose, laugh. Laugh in the Spirit. Amen? Stir up the joy of the Lord. Because there's a purpose, there's a function, there's a reason why. And we talked about that at length. We talked about shouting for joy and then singing for joy. So these are not theories, ladies and gentlemen. These are tactics. These are things that we should be implementing and applying in our regular lives, day-to-day lives. Amen? Close your office at work if you have that capacity to do that and stir up the joy. Amen? Why? To resist sorrow. Because you get disappointed, you're out, you lose your position of being anointed. Because the anointing is the oil of gladness. We know that from Isaiah 61. He said, the oil of joy is for mourning. That's directly medicinal for sorrow and being sad. The oil of joy for mourning. That's grieving, walk around grieving because of what? Some loss, some disappointment, some letdown. It keeps you from sinking down into the pit. So you need an oil of joy and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's discouragement and depression. In the Latin Vulgate, that word spirit of heaviness means those two things. It's like a double barrel shotgun, discouragement and depression. But you got to put on. That's a practice. That's a practice. That's an implementation. That's an application process. God's not going to put it on for you. You have to put it on. Amen? And the same thing with the peace of God. In this case, we're going to study and see that this is more defensive than just offensive. Because some things you got to put off. You got to put out worry. You got to put out care. Amen? Or you will nullify the peace of God. See, all these fruit or forces, however we want to label them, have a purpose, have a God-given purpose. This is mainly a protection force, a provision force, a prosperity force. You know, Old Testament word is shalom, peace, which meant wholeness, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken, and nothing lacking. This is not natural, it's spiritual or supernatural. Are you listening to me? And when you don't lack anything spiritually, it manifests and provides physically and naturally. Amen. Glory to God. Y'all got to pray with you got to pray along with me, because there's some real golden nuggets coming out here. Amen? Because we can't let go of our peace. We can't lose our peace. Now, peace, as we described, you see the definition there. Look at these definitions. All of these scriptures where I've got highlighted peace, or that is indicated peace in the New Testament, the major words for the major Greek word here, and all of these phrases we read, and some of the ones we will read, is this Greek word, Irene. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but what it sounds like. Amen. To me, at least. So what does it mean? Peace. By implication. What's the implication? What scripture did Brother Steve read this day? Prosper. Prosper. One of the root, 3 John 2, one of the root words for the prosperous and being health, well, the prosper is two words in duo, in dui, duo. Which is prosperous. That means to go on a journey, but it's also good. This is one of the root words taken in this word. It comes from the root word. Good. Peace is good. Prosperity is good. But this good in the word 3 John 2 is a good journey through life. A good journey. It's not a good journey if you're sick, if you're broke, if you're lacking and wanting. Amen. Prosperity, just like in the Old Testament word, shalom, nothing lacking. If nothing, there's no lack, then you have plenty. Because there's no shortage. Do y'all see the correlation here? Prosperity. It means one, peace, quietness, rest, plus set at one again. It means the state of tranquility of the soul, mind, will, and emotions, assured of its salvation through Christ, so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, or whatever sort that is. Peace between individuals, relationship. You know, we call it family peace or peace among friends. Amen? There's no schism, division, or squabbling. Harmony, concord. We would say prosperity, meaning financial peace. We've heard, you know, like Dave Ramsey has this whole university, financial peace. He's implying and inferring that there's peace in your finances. There's no problems. Amen. Somebody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
And then, of course, it means security, safety, prosperity, and felicity. Because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Felicity means great happiness, a quality of state of being happy, something that is pleasing and well chosen. Isn't that good? So the spiritual force or fruit or force of peace is not a technical peace or mechanical peace. The spiritual fruit or force of peace is not a technical or mechanical, but the peace of God that flows like a river out and over your spirit, soul, and body. It's not a temporal peace that is on today and off tomorrow. because something it's not conditional based on circumstances. It's not temporary. It's a peace that's to provide that you will enjoy all the days of your life. Isaiah 55:12, for you shall go out with joy. Joy breaks barrier, breaks through. Joy is the fuse of your faith, but you be led forth with peace. So what do we say? The two important monitors we need to keep cognizant of in our last emphasis on joy. Your joy and peace monitors. Amen? Usually the peace is the one that's helping you get direction and decision-making done. Direction and decision-making done. Because if you don't have peace about it, then it's usually an indication God's not in it. He's not leading you to do it. Because you don't feel rest and peace on the inside. Now, I don't sense peace about this in my heart. Well, don't do it. And like we've said, make decisions under pressure. Why? Because you're giving way to the devil's stimulus. That's his MO, modus operandi, or mode of operation, is to stimulate through fear tactics, which fear brings torment. Torment is just basically pressure. So when you're feeling and sensing fear, you will feel and sense pressure. We call it, in a medical vernacular, stress. Ungodly stress. You listen to me. Amen. Now let's read John 14:27 in Amplified. John 14:27. Look at this beautiful scripture. Beautiful scripture. I'll read it on the screen. Peace I leave with you, my own peace. So Jesus is bequeathing us. So it's part of our inheritance. Not you got to get it, you have it. But there is conditions to the covenant of that precious, priceless, spiritual commodity. Amen? My own peace, now I give and bequeath to you. So he's not giving us a low-grade, lower standard peace. He's giving us the same peace that he operated with. Isn't that wonderful? He says, I bequeath to you, not as the world gives do I give unto you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now he tells us gives us some lessons here. Stop allowing yourself to be what? Agitated. And disturbed. So you got to take inventory. If I get agitated, if I'm quick to flare up, frost up, frown up. Hallelujah. He said, do not permit yourself to be what? Fearful, or you just break that out, full of fear. And what? Intimidated. And what? Cowardly. And what? Unsettled. So don't permit yourself. Because what you're going to do? You're going to lose your peace. You're going to lose access to this peace that you already have in Christ. So this is not something you got to get. This is something you have to conditionally qualify to access on a consistent, regular basis, ladies and gentlemen. This is so good. Amen. So peace is one of the most valuable assets in the journey of life because you need to be led. And you need peace to give you that support and assistance to follow the Holy Spirit's and the Lord's leading in your life. Because you need to keep your hand on that monitor. I got to follow my heart. And peace flows out of your spirit. Like a river. When you meet the covenant conditions. But it's a choice, just like joy. You can be born again, spirit-filled, but allow yourself to what? To be agitated, disturbed, unsettled. right? Fearful. And you could be one to get quickly upset. And it's like, man, I thought you were Christian. But you get upset, you get mad, you get ornery. You get irritated just like everybody else. Well, you're basically disqualifying your access to the peace of God. That's the same thing Jesus had, and he's given it to us because we're in him. Isn't that wonderful? So peace, the truth is, destiny is in pieces when peace is lacking. You got to be settled in, this is what God told me to do. This is what God's showing me. God's not confused. He's not cloudy. He's not unclear what he wants. We've always said the absence of peace is worry, anxiety, stress. Care, what it does, is an enemy to your soul. The burden of care short-circuits your faith, reduces your faith to zero. Now you can't act in or access this peace, because peace is a grace, just like joy. It's a grace that's been given. It's been given to you. You didn't earn it, merit it, deserve it, but because of what Jesus did for us, we now have inherited it. We've been bequeathed this. Not wait when we get to heaven, right now. Right now, in the midst of the nasty, pressure-ridden, crazy world we live in, we have peace. Hallelujah. And you need to walk every day in the peace of God. Praise the Lord. So when peace is lacking, destiny can be in pieces. Now, the peace of God, number one, we said, sets the pace for divine intervention. Read Psalms 46:10. It says, be still and know that I'm God. And we'll see a little bit more light on that later. Be still. Sometimes God wants you to be still. What did Jesus say to the storm that was raging with him and the disciples on the boat in Mark chapter 4? He said what? What be still? Peace be. Dr. Rick Renner said when he was having financial problems, and this is just another caveat to prosperity, the prosperity provision of peace, and the phrase that Dr. Dave Ramsey uses, financial peace, he was having difficulty. Money stopped up, money started flowing. See, when things stop flowing, you got to know something's wrong here. Your faith is supposed to work. Your faith needs to be working. Your love walk needs to be intact. You know, that means my heart's clear, my conscience is clear. I don't have any offense, unforgiveness going on, bitterness. You know what I mean? All that stuff is all cleared up, cleaned out. Amen? We got no junk in our spiritual trunk. Amen. And then the joy of the Lord is a byproduct of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So those are key indicators. But the peace of God is there to help you. So in this case, he had trouble in his financial situations. And he said, what happened? Well, sometimes your fight is not, most of the times your fight is not against human beings, but also spirit beings. Spirit beings meaning devils, demons, and people who try to block up, hinder, harass, hold back your finances. So you get in the arena of, you stay in the arena of the natural realm, you start to worry about money. My God, can everybody identify with that? Sure. When the bills are due, when stuff's going, you start worrying about it. You can get to a point to where you start getting agitated because I don't have enough money. And you get so upset, man, you quick to yell, scream, whatever, act up in that case. Number one cause for divorce, in many cases, has been money, the last 5 years, 5 or 7 years. Big cause. Fighting over money. No peace. No peace in the marriage. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
And so Dr. Rick Renner said, Lord, what do we do? Now, remember, we've always taught you, and so always remember this. Because wisdom provides the peace about a situation, because it gives you direction. The Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the what? Principal thing. So get with, therefore, get what? It's not a primary principal thing. It is the principal thing. Amen? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And so the Lord told him at the time, because he was like praying for finances and trying to confess and believe, and he was working himself up into a panic or stress about it. Because sometimes we can get work up lather up a spiritual sweat trying to labor and toil and sweat, spiritually speaking, to make something happen. I'm going to force this thing to open up, force this thing. I'm just going to go at it charging like, no, he didn't have wisdom. And then when he got wisdom, Lord said, no. It's not people, because he's thinking, well, I'm a guy, I got to travel and get my partners back up and something happened and da, 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 da. And so he's thinking all this, waste all his time, energy, and effort. He said, no. He said, the devil's done. He said, what do I do? That's wisdom, right? Don't do anything until you know what to do. And then the Lord told him, and he had the peace came over him, and he said, the Lord told him, he said, just tell the devil to stop. Just like Jesus told, peace be still. And so he spoke over all the money. He said, oh, your problem is wind. And he said, I got it. What was happening in the boat with Jesus? The wind. But it wasn't the wind itself. It was what was causing the wind, causing the disturbance, causing the turbulence to occur to where they were rocking and reeling on that boat and they about to sink. And they waked him up and said, Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? And so he got out there and rebuked the what? So he told him, you do like Jesus did, rebuke the wind. Muzzle the wind. So he just says, hush. Shh. Money started rolling back in. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. All right. So it is sets the pace for answered prayer. We know in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Go there. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through what? Christ Jesus. Amen. And then we know, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, therefore, if anything's virtuous, if anything is praiseworthy or gives glory to God, think on these things. Amen? And so it sets the pace for answer prayer, because there are steps to answer prayer. You say Jesus' name, amen, but there is a space, a time between Jesus' name, amen, and there it is. You have to refuse to doubt. Amen? When Peter sunk, when he saw the wind, boisterous and whatnot, when Jesus walked on water and told him, come, and he started walking, and he looked at, took his eyes off the Lord, and began to sink, and said, Lord, save me, help me. And God put him, he said, why were you so fearful? Where did you doubt? Don't doubt. Because you have to maintain a place of faith in a believing posture. That's why peace protects you, protects your heart from going back, well, what if it don't come? See, that little bitty word, if, will whip you if you let it in. It's a badge of doubt. What if God don't heal me? Wavering now. Doubt just got in and robbed you. So it protects you from the robbers. It will keep your heart and your mind. Come on, this is your divine guardianship. Come on now. Because if you don't let the devil's thoughts sit in. Now, you can't prevent, just like Dad Hagen said, you can't prevent the birds from flying over your head. But you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. Are you listening to me? So thoughts of doubt, thoughts of worry, thoughts of fear will come. But if you got the peace up, come on. You got your soul and heart on lockdown. Ain't nothing getting in. We're going to protect the promise of God from its inception seed form to the harvest reality. Amen? Amen. That's why you need peace, because it sets the pace for answered prayer. It keeps you guarded, and guarding that promise that you've sown in prayer or in your heart to see it from inception to manifestation when it comes alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the way of the Spirit is peace. The way of the flesh is frustration and vexation. And sometimes we think, sometimes that we get so fussed up and vexed up that we think we can just emotionally manipulate God into do what we want. But it doesn't work that way. You got a lot of people, unfortunately, too many people out of church or out of fellowship with God because they're mad. They're frustrated. They're vexed. Things aren't working. And so they quit and give up. Amen. Now let's look at this in the scriptures in Colossians 3, 14 and 15. It says, and above all, put on love, enfold yourself in the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. Now listen to verse 15 very, very closely. Listen to it. And let the peace. Everybody say, let the peace. Look at somebody else next to you and say, let the peace of God. Hallelujah. Soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. What do we do? What do we do? What are we supposed to do with the peace? Let it rule. Let it rule. Let it have the call. Act like an umpire continually. Where? In your heart. That's why you got to have your hand on that monitor. What's the call? Peace gives the call. Do I have peace or do I not have peace? Act as an umpire continually. Now, that is a story, a little quick little story, but it's very, very revelatory. An umpire was calling, the guy was there. And he had two strikes, full count. Guy up to bat. Everybody understands the baseball analogy, I hope. And the umpire's back there. And here comes the ball. Comes in. And so the guy behind the plate, what's his name? Catcher. The catcher looked back at the ref. He said, "What's the call, huh?" And he said this, because he was a little delayed in his call. He said, "It ain't nothing till I call it something." So you got to look back at peace and say, what's the call? He's going to call it fair, or he's going to call it out. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Now, deciding and settling, what does it do? It decides and settles it with finality all questions that arise where? In our mind. Now, we get 30,000 thoughts a day. So peace should be at work all the time in our respective lives, making the call. This is good, this is not good. Why? We talked about it in our class, School of Bible, many of you were in there. We said, with those 30,000 thoughts, a toxic thought, a bad thought, an evil thought, a thought of fear, a fear-based thought, which is opposite of peace, by the way. When it gets in, when you allow it in, it begins to rearrange and put strain on your brain to the point to where they say it's temporary brain damage. The toxic thought. Toxic thought is not supposed to be residing on the inside. That's why peace is a big protector. Keep your thought life pure, protected, provided for. You have the mind of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're wired for love. You're wired for joy. You're wired to walk in the peace of God. That should be the oxygen of your soul. Peace. Peace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All questions that arise in your mind, that powerful, that in that peaceful state, that peaceful state to which as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to live. Amen? And be what? Thankful, appreciative, giving thanks to God always. Now, this peaceful state is only one state your mind can be in. So let me give you just a little nugget here, because we're going to get back into the scripture. So keep the scripture ready. So what are the states of mind? States that the mind of mind. Now, we know the principles. We'll just kind of just quickly rattle them off here. Where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. Right? Your thoughts will either glorify God or horrify God. Your thoughts take up mineral real estate. Amen? We have to renew the mind regularly. That's a requirement from the direction of Scripture, that we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We must renew our mind with the Word of God. That means we ought to be active all the time in thought exchange. We say we have to exchange our thoughts because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We have to regularly exchange our thoughts, ideas, our suggestions, our concepts for God's thoughts, God's ideas, God's concepts, and so forth and so on. We have to exchange those. It's a process of taking out the bad and replacing it with the upgraded thought, the godly thought. Because there's 30,000 thought that rolled through, but you have to cultivate this peace to protect, to help you on occasions, on a regular daily basis, sit down or stand up or wherever you're at, think about what you are thinking about. Because you have to set your minds, here's some Colossians 3:2, on higher things, the things above. If it's not set there, you have to reset it there. That's not a suggestion. He says, set your affections, King James says, but it really says minds and amplify. Set your minds and keep them set on the higher things. The higher things are higher thoughts, higher things of God. Not on the lower things. So we got a lot to do with the maintenance and the maintaining of our mind. Peace is the powerful partner that we have, the powerful force that we have to help keep our minds maintained. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So the first state of mind is a peaceful mind, a mind of peace. Peace mind, a mind of peaceful. That peaceful state is what we're called to live in. We're called to live in this state. We have been summoned to live in this state of not. This is it. This is the target. This is the goal. This is the expectation. This is the standard. But why? Because Jesus just told us in John 14, 27, Amplified Bible, he said, I bequeath you my peace. So he lived in this peaceful state all of the time. Amen? And then we find on occasion there's a temptation or there's a giving into the mind that's pressure. A peaceful mind is a calm, rest, sound mind, and whole. God has not given us a what? Spirit of fear. But of what? Power, love, and what?
Sound.
What kind of mind?
Sound
mind. That means what? You can actually sit down and reason with the Lord and think through your own problems. Because you got the peace of God. You got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. Everybody's always, you're always looking for everybody answers everywhere else. Your mind's not probably not sound enough. Amen? I'm talking about in a way of just desperation. You're not even thinking on your own. You got other people doing your thinking. Well, you're supposed to do your own thinking. Amen? Because you got 30,000 thoughts to think through. But the Holy Spirit's helping you. Amen? He'll help you. All right? And then there's this mind, which is a mind, the pressure is stress, stressed out mind, anxious mind, a fret-filled mind, a worried mind, and an agitated mind. This is all falls under this pressure mind. Now, we know what Jesus said. What did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said, take no thought, doing what? Saying. The lowest category, and the hardest category, is needs. Because the devil is easy, he tries to put easy prey on all of us to think about our needs. And we become need-minded. And he told us to be assignment-minded. That's a higher thing. You take care of my assignment, and I'll take care of your needs. Are you listening to me? So he said three times in verse number 25 of Matthew 6, take no thought for your life. Then verse number 27, for taking thought. You can't add or subtract anything by taking thought for your life. And then he said, 31, take no thought saying. Amen. Worry, friends, under this pressurized mind, it is an old English word that means to choke or to strangle. Now, Jesus uses an illustration in the parable of the sower. And he said, one soil was that of thorns. And what did the thorns do? They said when they grew up, they choked the word. And people, because of their mindset, they choke the word. It doesn't become practiced or implemented or applied. It's because they're choking. Because their mind is stressed, overburdened with care or worry, anxieties. It means also, the word means to strangle. You can strangulate the life out of your peace in the Word of God. Because the Scripture says in Psalms 119, in one verse, great peace have they that love thy law. Great peace have they that love thy law. When you love the Word, there's a whole bunch of peace. Amen? This word worry also means it makes you abandon everything else to love only yourself. So you find selfish, stingy, self-centered people are full of worry because they abandon everything else to think that I got to take care of myself. And it falls in line with need-mindedness. I need to take care of myself. Nobody else going to take care of me. I got to do it myself. And that low-level worry is where the devil gets in and messes us up. Amen? All right, the next one is a painful mind. Pain. Painful. The painful mind is one that's discouraged because you're constantly grieving. Depressed, a disturbed, vexed or aggravated mind. The last one we said agitated, but this one's aggravated. It's a little bit deeper level. So pain, that means they have mind pain, mentality pain. They think there's no way out. There's no hope. They struggle with having hope because you need hope. Hope's a good blueprint maker. It's a good visionary. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? And then there's a panic mind. Y'all know I like my alliteration, so we can keep them all with P's. Okay, so, all right, so this is a hysterical mind, a confused mind, irrational mind, a compulsive mind. Some people are in a panic state where they're irrational. They're compulsive. They're confused. Amen. And then the last one is a state of mind that's in paranoia. Paranoia, I don't know how to spell it, if I misspell it, that's fine. Paranoia. It's a crazy, insane, or deranged mind. Hallelujah. The devil's got you hoodwinked, and you believe that everything's insane, crazy. You know, like all these people, you know. Well, never mind. I don't have time to go there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, what do we do? That means this scripture in Colossians 3:15 tells us, do not think about, it's basically telling, do not think about, meditate on, or talk about, number one, think what you do not have. Because when you do, you're going to get yourself out of this peaceful state of mind. Don't think about what you don't have. Number two, don't think about, meditate on, and talk about what you can, cannot, or can't do. Can't do that. And people work themselves in a frenzy. And they automatically slip from here to here because they're thinking about, meditating on, talking about what I can't do. I can't stand this. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't. It's not in the Bible, right? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Are you listening to me? All right? And then don't think about, meditate on, and talk about what you don't know. You have an unction from the Holy One, 1 John 2:20, and you know what? All things. 1 John 2:27, you have the anointing that abides within you, teaches you how what? All things, and it's truth and no lie. You got to confess that. You got to apply that through your confession and your corresponding action. The Holy Spirit will teach me. I got the anointing that will help me know all things. I don't talk about what I don't know because I limit the Spirit of peace and I limit the God of peace in my life. I take down the walls of protection and I yield to pressure. I yield to pain. I yield to a panic attack. And I can become paranoid. Hallelujah. See, when something is bothering your heart and mind, quit. He's trying to get you down into pain and pressure. If you're frustrated, you're not in faith. Just know when you're frustrated, you're not in faith. You can't be frustrated and in faith. He that believes, Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, those that believe have entered into rest. Rest is a byproduct of peace. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. So our mind condition is critical. That's why the powerful force of peace has been brought to our inheritance, so that we can now protect our mind, our precious minds. Amen? We are to be at peace and in rest all of the time. We're not supposed to be wired, frustrated, or vexed, because peace is our inheritance in Christ. Because when you're anxious and you disconnect yourself from the presence of God. Worry, they even said, is temporary atheism. So you say, God, you're not even here. When he says, I'm with you always, I'm always there. His old covenant, Old Testament name was Jehovah Shammah. He's there. And if God's with you, he's for you. And if God's for you, who can be against you? He's everywhere present, but he's not everywhere ministered. But you can have that manifestation of his presence and power all the time working on your life. Isaiah 36:17, we're almost done. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness shall be what? Quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in what? Peaceable house. So it shouldn't be no chaos and drama, strife and contention at the house. You can command peace. Sleep in peace. One of the sleep scriptures, promise scriptures, is I will lay me down in peace. And sleep. You need to get in peace so you can get some sleep. Some people can't sleep because they're not in peace. But God says in Psalms 127, he gives his beloved sleep. Sweet sleep. So he'll give you peace so you can lay down and rest. Somebody say glory to God. Can't sleep, up early, up late. Come on now, that's not God. I'm not trying to be rude or mean, but that's not God. Praise God. All right. So you go to sleep in faith. Amen. And in sure dwellings and quiet resting places. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That is your portion and inheritance. God's working righteousness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. You've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. He has made peace between you and God through the blood of his cross. You've been, we are to walk in holiness and peace. Follow peace with all men and women. Glory to God. So this is a part and parcel of our lives significantly, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a psychological state. It's essentially a spiritual virtue and a spiritual force, which is why it's listed as one of the fruits of the Spirit. We know Romans 14:17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink. But what? Righteousness. Peace. Peace. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, and the God, let's go there. I'm just quoting it. Let's read it. Let's eat it. Let's eat it together. Amen. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Because see, some people will shout in church and get all happy, but then what needs to sustain them and protect them is peace. Because the devil's coming one way. He's not coming for your sweat. He's not coming to your mouth. He's coming to your mind. You lay down and get, or you sit down and get quiet, he's going to bring that thought up again. Is it really going to happen? And that umpire of peace needs to say, out. Then you rejoice. Amen. Joy and peace in what? Believing those joy and peace monitors again, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, let's just pick it up there next week with the God of peace. Amen. Because this is, are you guys good? We can keep plowing, but let's just pick it up there next week. Amen.